Welcome back. We are in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. My translation is subtitled The Peril of Not Progressing. 6, verse 1 of Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So what's going on here? Remember in the preceding verses, we just talked about milk versus solid food, a baby versus an adult. A real baby in this world usually has milk. We have a 21-month-old right now. He drinks a lot of milk, but he's also transitioning to solid foods. So he likes solid foods. And he'll probably get tired of his milk at some point, even though we all like milk as adults, but we can't typically drink it as much because of the calories and cholesterol and all sorts of stuff. So you're moving from milk to solid food in life physically. And that's an illustration of saying in the Bible, you should move from milk, the cookies on the bottom shelf, the easy things, the foundation, the elemental, the kind of require the doctrinal, building a foundation of a house, right? You lay the slab. You got to lay the slab, or else your house is going to fail. It's going to crack. It's going to fall apart, etc. Then you start building on top of that, right? But unfortunately, here's the problem. Many people and many churches just stay on milk. They stay at the foundation. They stay at the elemental. They stay on the building blocks, and they never progress from there. I give you a perfect example that came to my mind. So often, there are so many people in this country who profess to be Christians, yet they only go to church, say, 2 times a year, Christmas and Easter. We call them Christmas and Easter only, right? That's the only 2 times they go. God wants them to go all the time, not to earn salvation, but because how else are you going to get close to God? Those people typically are not reading the Bible on their own. They're not praying regularly and praying in God's will, etc. So going to church. But here's the problem. They go to church on Christmas and Easter, and they tend to hear the same message over and over and over. They go on Christmas. It's talking about Jesus being born. And they go next Christmas. It's talking about Jesus being born. They go on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and they hear, he died and rose from the dead, died and rose from the dead, died and rose from the dead. And they're like, yeah, I got this. I've been going to church for years on Christmas. I know that he was born. I've been going to church for years on Resurrection Sunday. I know that he was born, killed on the cross and rose from the dead. I got this, right? They're not pressed or taught anything beyond that because the church has just hit those 2 points. Wouldn't it be better if they understood that they should go to, they get into a church and the church is going verse by verse? Yeah, you can mention the basic thing that he was born. You can mention the death and resurrection because it's important and not a bad time to remind once a year. Go beyond that. Go beyond that. And so many people are not getting anything other than milk, either to their own fault because they only go to church twice a year, or to the church's fault because the church just focuses on these little elementary things and just keep feeding people milk and never feed them solid food. So he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. As you go on to solid food, as you go on to some other meaty things in the Bible, you're building the frame of the house. You're building out the house. You're putting on the windows and the roof. And I don't want to take the analogy too far, but you get the idea. And the idea of life is that you are justified. Justify had never sinned. That happens once at the moment of conversion. The moment that you accept Jesus into your life, you declare that he's your Lord, ask him to forgive you, and the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells you, and you're sealed, as we know from Ephesians at that point, and you cannot be indwelled by a demon at that point, and you're going to go to heaven for them. But the rest of your life is this process of sanctification. I define it as conforming to the character of God. You're pressing into God. You're learning to live with him and to walk with him and learning more about him. He's not learning more about you because he already knows you. He knows what you're going to do, but you still have your free will and your learning process and your finite mind, whereas his is infinite. And this is that sanctification process over time. And so that's going on to perfection. Then when you die, you'll go to heaven, and that's when you will be glorified, where where you won't have any sin anymore, right? The moment you got justified, you're not sinless. Hopefully you will start to sin less, and that's that sanctification process. But God sees you as sinless because Jesus is essentially wrapping you. He's standing in front of you, and God the Father sees his son Jesus who shed his blood for you. So that's the perfection that we're talking about here. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Right? You should repent. You should feel convicted that you have sinned and frustrated the purposes of God and for purposes of which you were created, and you should repent of that. That was the perfect picture of repentance on the cross, where God the Father turned his back on Jesus and put him to death, and that was that three-hour period where they were completely separated. Never before in the history of the world, in the history of God, had God the Father and God the Son been separated, but that happened right then, and it's that moments of repentance. So we in our lives should feel that repentance when we came to Christ or when we come to Christ for the first time. And then over time, you repent as well, not to earn your salvation, but because it's sanctification. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to say, you know what, God? I'm sorry that I just did that. I'm sorry that I looked at that man or that woman or that money like that, or I got angry with this person, raised my voice, stole, lied, cheated, did any of this stuff. I really feel bad about that and convicted, and I repent of my sin, Lord. Please help me go the other direction, away from the devil and towards you. Right? So that's that foundation. Great. You understand it? Now let's move on. It says from dead works and a faith toward God. Right? We know that our work, we're not saved by our works. Right? Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works. Not of works. Not of works. Lest anyone should boast. You're not saved by your works. Right? God says you can just kind of throw all your works and your trophies at his feet, and they're just like dirty rags, because you're like, look at here what I did, look what I did. And he's like, that's just a dirty rag. The only thing you'll be rewarded for in heaven is not putting your name on a building, not anything you did where you got attention and you got the light and you did it for you or to feel good, or you saw this homeless person and you gave him a dollar or anything like that. You're only going to get rewarded in heaven for things that were purely motivated for advancing the kingdom of God, of Jesus, period. Full stop. And so you can't earn your way to heaven. No matter how good you think you are or how good you are relative to someone else, you are still not sinless. You're a sinner. And that archery, the sin distance is the distance between where your arrow lands and the bullseye. And the only one who hit the bullseye is Jesus. Everybody else has a sin distance because we didn't hit the bullseye. We weren't sinless. We weren't perfect and righteous like him. And therefore, we need to become perfect and righteous. And that's how he clothes us and wraps us in his robe of righteousness. So we move on. It says faith toward God. We hit that, right? You're saved by grace through faith. You're not saved by works. Moving on from that. So you understand that? Great, move on. You can hit it from time to time, but don't just stay in that place and talk about that every single Sunday at church, because that's just, you know, it's milk. And we look at that, we're like, it's foundation, it's so important. Yes, it is. And once you understand it, let's move on and let's start studying other parts of the Bible. And that is why I'm such a huge proponent of going verse by verse through the Bible. So you're not just hitting tithing every Sunday. You're not hitting faith every Sunday. You're not hitting baptism every Sunday and building a doctrine or a church or a denomination around it. You're going through the Bible. When tithing comes up, you talk about tithing. When baptism comes up, you talk about baptism. When end times come up, you talk about the end times, etc. Right? Verse 2 of the doctrine of baptism. So here we go. Baptisms. Baptism is important. Every believer should be baptized. We saw Jesus as an example getting baptized by John the Baptist. That's how he got his name. John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. Must you be baptized to get to heaven? No. How do we know that? The man on the cross next to Jesus, the criminal as we call him, but he's just a sinner just like us, he gave his life to Christ on the cross. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't do any works. He didn't get baptized, and yet he's going to be with him in paradise. Right? Baptism is great, but you shouldn't talk about it every time. And if I were to summarize baptism in a couple words, I'd say it's an outward sign of an inward change. It's a public profession of a private transaction that has already occurred between you and Jesus. It doesn't save you. It's just external evidence, public evidence that you are telling everyone that you are now a Christ follower. Then we go on. We move on from that of laying on of hands. Sometimes there's laying on of hands, especially we see some biblical examples of that. Great, hit it, move on. Of resurrection of the dead. Essentially, we call that the rapture, right? We don't want to talk about the rapture every week. Sometimes you'll go into churches and all they'll do is they'll talk about Revelation and the end times like every Sunday, right? That's only one of the 66 books of the Bible. It's important. It's a bookend. It's hugely important. Without understanding Genesis and Revelation, you're going to get a lot of the Bible wrong. But once you understand it and you understand the rapture is going to happen, and every living believer is going to go straight up to heaven without dying, and bodies are going, whether it's, you know, ashes or someone who died 2 minutes ago, they're going to have these new, awesome, resurrected, glorified bodies that are going to be like Jesus, right? Can go through walls. They're going to be so cool. But we don't need to talk about that every time. And of eternal, it says, and of eternal judgment. This is hell. Later, that's the lake of fire, right? There's kind of two places. Everybody just thinks of hell. Hell is kind of the holding tank. And then it, all the unbelievers go from hell to the great white throne judgment, where they then go into the lake of fire. I call it hell one and hell two. But hell two is the permanent one, which we call the lake of fire. Great. We understand that. We understand if you're not saved, you don't go to heaven, you go to hell and then the lake of fire. Great. Let's move on from that. Verse three, and this we will do if God permits, right? God permits us to move on from solid, from milk to solid food. God wants us to move on from milk to solid food. It's not that we're forgetting these foundational, these elemental, these building blocks. It's that we don't just sit there and focus on them. Once you lay the slab on a house, you don't keep laying the slab over and over. You build on top of it. And that's what he's wanting us to do. Lord, help us not to just focus on the building blocks and the elemental. If someone's listening to this and they need to understand those, great. Help them to find someone, a church, a pastor, a Christian who can teach them and really help them understand the building blocks and then move on. And help us to read the Bible verse by verse, Lord. The whole Bible. It's the whole counsel of God. You gave it all to us. None more important than the other. So help us to read it and learn and spend the rest of our lives wanting to learn about you, to know you, and building a relationship with you. In your amazing name, amen.